So yesterday I attended the ordination of our curator of spiritual life at All Saints Day School, Gory Pina. So he was ordained at the First Presbyterian Church of Monterey. And they do not have images being in a Presbyterian church, but on the walls were shown these little stencils, I guess, of flames of fire all along the walls of the church in preparation for Pentecost, but also ordination. The color is red, symbolizing the fire of the Holy Spirit, which we also use for confirmation. And so the Spirit is often associated with fire. And a woman sitting next to me asked me, she goes, well, why are all these flames of fire here? And so I explained to her, you know, something that seems rather obvious to me, you know, we forget that some people were not raised in our tradition. And so I talked to her about the flames of fire that come down in the book of Acts. And so I'm grateful that you've all dressed up in red today, so we have all of these flames of fire in our own congregation. So Pentecost is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it's really such an amazing feast day. But from Easter, it seems like everything's all downhill from there instead of uphill. Like this is even a greater outpouring of the Spirit from Easter. Rowan Williams, who was the former Archbishop of Canterbury, says, you know, he thinks it's wrong that we celebrate Pentecost as the birthday of the church, because in essence, really, the birth of the church is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is Easter. Pentecost is that outpouring to all of the world. And that's what the book of Acts is about. It's about the Spirit reaching to the ends of the earth with the good news of the gospel. And it jumps across, you know, cultures and traditions and languages, that it becomes the bridge between every culture and every language. And that is truly the meaning of Pentecost. The counter story, the counter biblical story of Pentecost is the story of the Tower of Babel, when everyone came together and said, oh, we want to be like God, and so we're going to build a tower so high that we can crawl up to God. And not really understanding God's presence is with us. And so God scatters them in thousands of different languages so they can no longer cooperate to build up their pride in such a way. But Pentecost is that coming back together, that outpouring of the Spirit and reuniting so that we all understand one another, regardless of our gender or our culture or our language or our ethnicity. It is bringing us together in Christ in that common humanity. One of the things I thought about this week, and if you were a member of our congregation during COVID, you'll recognize what this is. So, and it seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? Almost 6 years ago that we had to close our doors. And one of the things that we decided to do was to create a little communion kit for everyone. So we ordered many black vial boxes, and inside is a little Pyx with a communion wafer. And it was simply to remind us that Christ is present with us. At that time, we were not allowed to share communion. We were not able to commune one another. And so to bring the presence, the symbolism of the presence of Christ into our own home. And if you think about Pentecost, this was not a church. These mostly were Jewish people. Jesus, this movement of the Spirit that started and grew with the conversion of Saul into St. Paul, spread. But it started with a group of people coming together in prayer. Remember, where two or three are gathered together, there I am in your midst. And they came together, and they broke bread together, and they prayed with one another daily. And in that, the Spirit that Jesus promises in his last discourse in the Gospel of John arrives. And it appears like wind with tongues of flaming fire, and everyone is able to understand one another in their own language. So the community was simply being faithful. This wasn't a church. It was a movement of people called the Jesus Movement. And they came together not just in the Jewish temple, but also in people's homes. They gathered simply to break bread together and to pray. And there was an outpouring of the Spirit. So this started in Jerusalem and expanded to the ends of the earth. It was amazing. It was an amazing time. And it was very threatening to the temple. As you can imagine, with all of these people gathering in their homes and celebrating this strange, message from this Jewish man who claimed to know God personally. And what strikes me about that is the faithfulness. No gimmick, no trying to do anything except coming together to be with one another. And in COVID, we were able to do that on Zoom, and now again in person. And really, that's exactly what we're called to, is to come together, to break bread together, and to pray together continually. It's very simple. It's not a hard core to follow, but just the faithfulness of being with one another and celebrating that last feast that Jesus passed on to them. When you break bread, I am present with you. And that is the message. And one of the things we're doing in our community right now is, as we celebrate the 75th anniversary of this beautiful sacred worship space, is we've been digging up the past. We've been finding family members of artists and architects and sculptors, the people who built this sacred worship space. And we've been inviting them to come to our celebration in July. And in that way, we're connecting with the past. We're also remembering the people who are now passed on into glory, who helped create this worship space. We're also reaching out to people in the community, to a few restaurants and the Chamber of Commerce. And so we're also connecting with the greater community. And that's what our celebration is about. It's not just about us. And that's really hard for us to remember when we've been together for so long. It's about the whole community we serve. We are called a parish. That word parish comes from the word parochial, which means a certain area designated. So really, the whole peninsula is our parochial area. And we're asked to reach out and to make connections with those. Because if we have no relevance to the community outside of us, we have no relevance. We're not here just for ourselves. We're here for the whole community, the whole peninsula, and in fact the whole world, because we are connected to the universal church. We are not existent on our own. And just like a hermit connected to a larger community, a monastic community, they're not out there all on their own. They're always tethered to something greater than themselves. So that's who we are as a church. And just imagine when the Spirit stirs, and the Spirit can, you just may be surprised of the ripple effect in our, you know, in our parochial area. Everything we do matters. Everything. Our prayer matters. One of the things that the Archbishop of Canterbury, Sarah Mullally, has encouraged us to do is to pray Thy Kingdom Come, which is a set of prayers. It's actually a novena. And it was really established to be prayed between Ascension, the 9 days between Ascension and Pentecost. But I just found out about it. So I'm inviting you to pray it with us starting tomorrow for 9 days. And it's a beautiful, I've been reading through all of the devotions. But it invites us to pray for those who are in need of God. And to come up with 5 people or that you really want to pray for. And to do that daily in these 9 days of prayer. If you receive the newsletter, the whole download is there for you to print out. It was sent out this week. So if you look in the news announcements, you can find it. But that is our real calling, and that's what opens us to be present to the Spirit. The Spirit is with us always. What you and I have to learn is the awareness of the Spirit in our midst. And one of the ways we do that is by taking time each day to be present to God in Scripture and in prayer, so that you and I can be a vessel of the Spirit in the world. Amen.